Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy. But it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow. And their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty. Products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio. If you're appreciative of listening, subscribing, follow the podcast, YouTube feed, 94. WIP, check it out there. Before I get into the show today, just want to remind you, my book, What If? Tackling the Biggest Unanswered Questions in Philadelphia Sports History. It's available for pre-order right now. You get free shipping and a personalized autograph signature for every copy that is ordered right now. WhatIfPhillyBook.com is how you order. I'd love for you to read it. Let me know what you think. Hope you enjoy reading it as much as I enjoyed writing it. All right, now to the show today. So, lots to get into here. We'll be at camp today. Sean Mannion spoke on Saturday. Nick Sirianni going to speak today. I was going to get to a lot of Phil stuff. You know, not a good weekend against Toronto Blue Jays. And I'm pulling the plug on Boehm. I've had it up to here with watching Alec Boehm play baseball. But the big, big story from the weekend around the city and around the Eagles, certainly, was the news on Saturday that Lane Johnson is probably likely headed towards his final season in the National Football League, that retirement is impending here for Lane Johnson. And, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm also not surprised that it kind of came out the way it did, not a big formal thing that just kind of had a press conference. Like, yeah, you know, it's probably it. And that's kind of the way Lane Johnson lets us know that he's about to go into the last year of his career. So I have five big thoughts on Lane Johnson letting us know that we're heading into the final year of his career. The first one is I get it. You know, Lane is not a young player. Lane is moving towards his late 30s now. He has children that are getting a little bit older. His oldest, he said, is about to turn 13. My oldest is 11. I'm a little bit older than Lane, but not much. You know, I'm 39. I think Lane is 36. So he had his first a little bit younger than I had my first. But the point is, it's similar. And I understand that kind of that pull and tug of life. And Lane Johnson has a much more challenging life and profession to be a dad, I'm guessing, with so much time away and travel and you know, the work that it takes to craft the player that Lane Johnson is rather than, you know, what I do. And I have great hours at this stage. But at one point, I didn't have great hours. I worked at night and I barely saw my kids during the week. So I get that. And as they get older and you kind of balancing, it's a balancing act. Life's a balancing act. And obviously for a player, a person and a player like Lane Johnson, he has choices. You know, for the rest of us, depending on what our work is, what we do for a living, how much time we have to put into it, how much time we be away from home or distracted at home or, you know, whatever, there's that. It's difficult, but you know, for a lot of us and most of us, we have to provide, right? We have to, this is our job. This is what I do. This is what we do. So you make the best of it and you find time, you know, but for a football player like Lane Johnson who's made the money he has, he doesn't have to do this anymore. He doesn't have to. So if he feels like his, you know, it's not about money. It's not about legacies. He's already accomplished everything. If it's about where he needs his feet to be, then I'm not surprised. And this, I think a lot of athletes, a lot of people go through this when their children start to get to a certain age where you don't want to waste those final years where they're kind of still with you. And obviously, you know, Lane also mentioned his parents are getting older. That's a whole different ball of wax and a responsibility and the pull and tug of there. So the first thought is I'm not surprised. The second thought that I had when I heard Lane Johnson, you know, is about to head into his final year as the Eagles right tackle is, you know, if Howie Roseman could go back to the night of the first round of the 2026 NFL draft, does he trade up for Monroe Freeling instead of trading up for Mekhi Lemon? Now, Monroe Freeling went at number 19 to the Carolina Panthers. The Eagles trade up to 20 to get Mekhi Lemon. You know, they made the move up to go to 20 because they didn't want to miss out on Lemon. But would they have made a bigger move up the board, slightly bigger move up the board, to go get Monroe Freeling out of Georgia, had they known? Now, before the draft and that day of the draft, I thought Freeling was their most likely selection. I thought Monroe Freeling fit them perfectly as an heir apparent to Lane Johnson. Athletic, strong. I thought he could be, you know, I think I mentioned him on an episode here is, you know, if I had to pick an X number of players from this particular first round, this draft to be Hall of Famers, Monroe Freeling would have been one of them. And he goes to Carolina at 19. Now, perhaps Carolina was locked in and they weren't going to move off that pick, maybe, but you could have traded up above them. So I wonder that. I wonder if the Eagles, had they known this day was coming, and I always wonder with these kind of situations, what's the give and take of communication between the player and the team? Is it as simple as, hey, are you back for this season? And he says yes, and you say, okay, and you don't pry anymore. Or do you have those honest conversations like, hey, how many more years do you think you see yourself doing this? And maybe Lane said then, I don't know. And they just went about and drafted the player they drafted and tried to balance it all. Maybe he told them, yeah, they had got a few left. And maybe that changed. I don't know the background. I don't know the behind the scenes. I don't know what information Howie Roseman had going into the draft about Lane Johnson's future. I know I have this information now. And if I could go back in time now, if I'm Howie, I would make the move up higher to go get Monroe Freeling. It's a double-edged sword. It's two things. One, obviously, they're going to need a right tackle in a year. And maybe Markell Bell could be that guy, third-round pick out of Miami. And it seems like he's showing some promise right now. Maybe. And my guess just about him and his career and his trajectory is he's probably more likely to be good than Orlando Brown, Juwan Taylor. Vinny is to be great, a Lane Johnson or a Monroe Freeling potentially. You know, he's a first-round pick, but I could be wrong. Maybe Markell Bell will be excellent. But you combine that with the fact that it's been a tough spring and summer for Mekhi Lemon, that he hasn't played his best football, that he has been able to stay on the field, that he's been hurt, that he's had hamstring issues. And if you tell me right now, who would you rather have, Mekhi Lemon or Monroe Freeling? It's a slam dunk. I'd rather have Monroe Freeling. So that's in my head. The other thought about, you know, the information and when we're getting it, when the Eagles may be getting it and how the Eagles may be getting it is, what does this line look like in a year? So Landon Dickerson has hinted at retirement. I know a couple weeks ago he kind of shot that down, but we know that. Cam Jurgens did not play well last year coming off injuries. We'll see how he plays this year. Tyler Steen is a free agent to be at right guard. You know, next year, how many guys on the Eagles offensive line are you sure are going to be their starters? I would say probably just Drew DiMailata, and then you give a very big heads up or leg up to Markel Bell because he's here and learning under Chris Cooper, and he was a third-round pick this year, and he'll learn under Lane. So two, and you maybe cross your fingers, one of those two interior guys, Dickerson or Cam, bounces back in a big way and wants to stay and all that. Okay, but you still could be looking for two or three starting offensive linemen next year. It's been a very, it's been an excellent offensive line for years. It's been a continuity that feels like it's about to shift a little bit. So that's a takeaway I had right away when I heard Lane say what he said. Like, what is next year's offensive line looks like?
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I also wonder what this looks like this year if Lane gets hurt again. You know, if you're already kind of 1 foot out the door mentally, if Lane has an injury or has the kind of injury that would take rehab time like last year, and even with that would not guarantee a return, you know, in this actual season. Is he going to be willing to put that time in this time, or is he just going to kind of check out? And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I think most people would. Like, I'm about to leave anyway. Like, am I going to go through all this rehab, another surgery if I need it? And Lane's been a warrior. And I think this year is probably more likely to play through anything because he knows it's the end instead of missing time. But if he has the kind of injury where it's going to take some rehab and or surgery, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be as willing to put all that time and work in when, you know, the future is hanging out with his kids, take care of his parents. So that stood out to me. Two more takeaways I had listening to Lane Johnson speak on Saturday and kind of just thinking about where he's at and where the Eagles are at. The fourth takeaway, and this will resonate for a long time, is just what an incredible draft like Lane Johnson was. 2013, Lane Johnson, a top five pick at Oklahoma, you know, the first pick post Andy Reid, the first pick of the Chip Kelly era, the first pick for Jeff Stoutland, the new offensive line coach that had come with Chip Kelly. And I don't know if you could create a franchise pillar, you know, or if you do, it's really hard to create one better than Lane Johnson. Now, I know there were, you know, a couple of missteps early with some steroid suspensions and, you know, PEDs and all that. But other than that, the guy has been a rock, a rock. He's going to play his entire career for one team. Went to 3 Super Bowls, won 2 of them. Was, you know, arguably the most important player over the course of all the years. And I think that argument is actually pretty lock solid. You know, the most important player when you add all of the years, all of the elements of everything. It's hard to think of a more important football player to this organization. Other guys have been great, but they disappeared and this team kept winning. And Lane Johnson just kept going and going and going and going and going, got better as he aged. I thought some of the years he put up were just remarkable, remarkable, remarkable. And that was a draft to go back. I mean, that was a Geno Smith in the second round. It was EJ Manuel in the first round. It was a year the Eagles clearly needed a quarterback. Or, you know, thought they did, or there was an assumption they did. And because they had Nick Foles in the roster from the year before and Michael Vick, but they didn't have, you know, usually you're that bad of a football team, which the Eagles were a bad football team in 2012. You want to cash in and get yourself a quarterback. And the Eagles didn't do that. And they ended up taking a tackle who had kind of had his fast rise up the rankings. And it's remarkable to think about where he's been, where they've been, and what kind of production they got out of him. Just amazing stuff. What a draft pick. One of the greatest in Eagles history. And the last thought I had on Lane, and this year probably won't change that much because of all the work he's put in, but it's the Hall of Fame and his chances to make it. I think the only thing that could keep Lane Johnson from the Hall of Fame is how voters will react to his PED suspensions, which there were two of. I think there was either one or two. It was the four gamer and then the 10. I think it was the four gamer and then the 10 gamer. But, you know, I think there's going to be some voters who do Lane and downgrade him because of that. They might downgrade him for two things. One, he was a right tackle, not a left tackle. And he could have switched. They could have switched him when Jason Peters left. They chose not to do it. They found themselves, you know, they found Jordan Mailata and they just kept Lane where he was because he was so valuable. I think that right tackle, left tackle thing is a little antiquated, a little overrated. You know, pressure comes from all areas. I think with the way offense have changed, I think just greatness is greatness. And if you're a great right tackle, you're a great right tackle. I don't think it's the way it used to be where the best ones on the left side and you're not as good if you're on the right side. If you want to give a little extra credit to a left tackle, okay. But I'm not going to downgrade Lane Johnson because he stayed a right tackle and dominated for all these years. It's the PED stuff and how they'll hold that against him. My view is while some voters may hold it against him, I would not. And in fact, what I would do is look at how he played post that. I mean, you knew and you know he was being tested. You know the league was paying attention. You know he was on high alert. The league was on high alert. One more, you know, you got banged one more time. We're talking about a guy that could get knocked out for a year. So he did this clean for the better part of the last decade and helped the Eagles go to Super Bowls and make all pros and Pro Bowls and dominate and go, you know, basically hundreds of snaps at a time without allowing a sack. That should be rewarded. You should be rewarded for you clean up your act and you play even better than you did before. I would reward Lane Johnson. I would put him in the Hall of Fame. When I think about this era of Eagles football, and you could say in Lane's time in the NFL, there have only been two more successful franchises in totality, and that would be the Patriots and it would be the Chiefs. And if you go to the NFC, you'd have to give the nod to the Philadelphia Eagles as the most successful franchise in that time period. If you want to say Seahawks are close, I would agree. I don't even know who else you put up there. Nobody in the NFC is obvious in this time period. Green Bay has been to a Super Bowl. Detroit obviously no. Chicago, Minnesota. Saints know that been to a Super Bowl in this time period. Bucks, you know, they got themselves a championship and they had the nice Tom Brady run, but not in totality. They ended up with the number one pick in one of these years. Falcons, no way, even though they met in the Super Bowl once. Panthers, no way. 49ers have been pretty successful, but no ring. The Rams, right? The Rams are the other one you put in the mix because they want a ring. But I would say in this time period, the most successful team in the NFC and the third most successful team overall has been the Philadelphia Eagles. And the one constant of that for all the years on the field has been Lane Johnson. I put him in the Hall of Fame. We'll see how the line looks in a year. Hopefully, if he gets banged up this year, he's willing to fight through it for the self, for the team. And I do wonder if the Eagles knew, would they have gone after Monroe Freeland in the first round, of the 2026 NFL Draft. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.